Welcome in to a special Saturday morning edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast. My name is Jesse Friedman. I am the Vice Mayor, your Thunderstick. Derek, I told Derek to take his day off here, take a real day off, as I invite one of our favorite people around here at the on the PHNX D-backs show. It's Patty Plantains, Patrick Lyons. Patrick is here with us today to talk about a spring breakout game, the first inaugural spring breakout game that will be played later today. So, Patrick, I'm excited to get into this.
Oh, me too. And I'm excited to be working on the weekend. It's par for the course, right? I'm down there for the entire month of October, and Derek needs a day off on a Saturday. Sure, I'll work on the weekend. Why not? You know, it's par for the course.
It really is. So we've seen some spring breakout games already. They've been played for a couple of days now. We saw Paul Skeens, I believe he struck out Jackson Holiday in one of the cooler moments we've seen so far, throwing 101 miles an hour or whatever it was. And before we get into the specific rosters, of course, it's the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, hence why Patrick is here to shed some light on the Rockies side of things. I just want to talk about the concept itself. This is a new thing that Major League Baseball has introduced for the 2024 season, and I imagine it will continue and become an annual thing as long as things go the way that they want it to. I think it's a cool idea. I think, you know, anything you can do to get more eyes on young players and, you know, especially have those players facing each other, that's something that we see a little bit of in spring training. We do get to see some of the top young prospects in the game in spring training, but oftentimes it's, you know, it's in the last couple of innings when some fans aren't really dialed into things. And a lot of times you're going to get, you know, one team's top prospect against, you know, like a quad A player from the other team or something like that. We don't often see them facing directly against each other. So Patrick, I'm intrigued. I think it's a fun idea, and I'm excited to see what it looks like today.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's a wonderful concept that baseball has put together here, trying to highlight these guys, because, you know, we cover the sport and we're familiar with these guys and who they are and their journey, but it's such a long journey from the point in which you're drafted till you make your debut. It takes so long. And unless you're a diehard, literally and figuratively there for the PHNX fans, you know, you might not know who these players are. So getting an opportunity to highlight these players is fantastic. Now, in the summer, they have the Futures game, but those are the best of the best. That's the cream of the crop. It's just, you know, one game. And it also takes place on the final day of the first half. So it's an event that I don't know if baseball really gets out what they put into it. I know there's a lot of people in the industry that if you're a prospect pundit, you almost don't like the futures game because it falls around the same time as the draft. So you're dealing with the futures game, you're dealing with the draft, and there's just almost too much happening. And yeah, you know, sitting down and you know, getting ready to talk about this with you, it did make me think of the business side of, you know, the spring breakout and why baseball's doing it and all the different ramifications and whatnot. And it makes me think, I wonder if, you know, the futures game will go away at some point, because in some ways and in many ways, I think this is just a better product overall to have to be able to highlight prospects, because you're not just doing, you know, 60, you're doing quick math, like what, 900? There's like 30 guys on 30 teams. That's 900 guys that are getting highlighted versus just 60 on one day. So it really spreads it out during a time in the year of which, you know, yeah, there's less people paying attention to baseball. But the baseball people who are paying attention, you know, are going to love this. And it's going to give a reason for some folks who aren't paying attention to go out and watch this, you know, this nice exhibition and highlight some of these young guys. So I think this is fantastic. And it's a really fun idea. I'm looking forward to seeing how it grows over the next couple of years.
We've talked on the show already about some of the headliner names on the Diamondback side. People know Jordan Lawler. He's played in a number of spring training games. We've seen him quite a bit. He's been sent down to minor league camp at this point, but still certainly a candidate to play a role on the major league team at some point in 2024. Tommy Troy is on this list as well. Diamondbacks first round pick from 2023. Drew Jones, another big name, their first round pick from the year prior. Those are kind of the biggest headliner names from the D-back side. We'll get into to a few more guys that people should be keeping an eye on. But from the Rockies side, who are some of the more notable names on the Rockies side that D-backs fans should also be aware of?
Well, I think the biggest name probably is their first overall pick last year, Chase Dolander. He, you know, they shut him down once he was drafted, so he could kind of, you know, acclimate himself just a little bit. Some of those guys who pitched deep into the postseason, into Omaha, you know, man, they get worked really hard, so they shut him down. So this will actually be the first time anyone gets to see him in a ballpark. You know, he didn't go to low A, didn't go to high A, nothing like that. So Chase Dolander is an interesting guy for Rockies fans and Diamondbacks fans to get familiar with. He's expected to move through the organization pretty quickly. You know, came out of the University of Tennessee going into 2023. A lot of people thought he might have been the first overall pick, messed with his slider a little bit, and actually had somewhat of a down year overall. It's one of the reasons why he fell to the Rockies there at number nine. So he's probably the biggest name on the pitching side. He'll throw one inning. He's expected to start the game. All the Rockies guys are going to pitch one inning. Joe Rock is on the roster, but he's not going to end up pitching in that game whatsoever. And then there's just a ton of hitters. It's going to be an onslaught for Diamondbacks pitchers to have to deal with, you know, one through nine, absolutely loaded. And then there's still four or five guys on the bench that can absolutely rake. Jordan Beck kind of being number one amongst them. He's moved quickly also from the University of Tennessee, drafted in 2022, and has made a real impact even on the big league spring training half of baseball.
So I'm seeing, I think it's three guys from the MLB pipeline, top 100 in this game on the Rockies side. You've got Dolander, as you mentioned, he's at number 52. Adiel Amador, I guess potentially the top overall prospect in the Rockies organization. They have him at number 28 on the top 100 list. Yankiel Fernandez, an outfielder, also on this list at number 72. We talked about this the other day that, you know, maybe the Rockies weren't like the most exciting opponent for the Diamondbacks to face in this game. But it seems like the farm system has maybe taken a step forward. You know, maybe the Rockies don't quite have the farm that you'd like to for a team dealing with what they're dealing with right now at the major league level. But safe to say the Rockies farm system has taken some steps forward here in the last year or two.
I think it has. You know, one of the most recent farm system rankings that came out had the Rockies at 21st. And I think it's hard for some fans to understand how these rankings are done, because if you've got serious, like, future all-star players in your farm system, that carries a lot more weight than having a lot of really solid depth. And the Rockies have a lot of really solid depth. You know, we're waiting to see what Dolander does. You know, Beck could be a guy that, you know, develops into, you know, a multi-time all-star. And then the rest of the guys, again, it's still very much unknown, but there's no, you know, slam dunks, or to use more of a baseball term, there's no grand slam guys necessarily that you're going to go ahead and say, oh man, this guy is a stud. You know, even like Drew Jones, you look at him and say, oh well, you know, the bloom is off the rose a little bit after last season, but he's still a guy that you can you know, expect to be, you know, a major stud. So the Rockies are missing those kind of guys. They do have all 10 of their MLB pipeline top 10 in their system in this game. They're one of only five teams to have that. And, you know, they've got virtually their entire 30-man, you know, top 30 prospects that are participating in this game. So, you know, the farm system has definitely gotten a lot better. We should see some of those players in the second half of the season in Denver, but it might not be a ton of them because they're still a year or so away. So many of them are going to start at Double A Hartford. They can make that jump a lot quicker. Players are moving through the Rockies system a lot quicker than in the past. I think we're seeing that around, you know, baseball in general. But the Rockies, you know, they've lacked some depth. They've lacked those big name guys of the last couple years, partially due to, you know, poor drafting, poor developing, you know, between, you know, 2016 through 2020, they haven't gotten much out of those drafts, unfortunately, but they've got somewhat of a deep and loaded roster for spring breakout.
I'm going to just touch on a few names here from the D-back side. I'll start with pitchers in particular. We've certainly talked about these guys on the show, but just to give people an idea of who specifically they should be looking forward to here in the spring breakout game. Yumin Lin is the highest ranked pitching prospect from the Diamondbacks side. D-backs fans probably know his name by now. We posted a video of Yumin Lin doing work on the backfields against some of the D-backs starting position players, and it's like the most viewed video we've ever posted on YouTube. It's pretty remarkable. There's a lot of Yumin Lin fans out there, but Yumin Lin is the Diamondbacks' top overall pitching prospect right now, according to most prospect rankings, and he reached AA last year. He's only 20 years old. Put up pretty darn good numbers in AA last year, given the extreme hitter friendly environment there. So he's someone that we expect will pitch in this game. I don't know if there's really room for all these pitchers to get in. So we'll see who actually pitches, but Yumin Lin, certainly a name to keep an eye on. Landon Sims is also on this list for the D-backs. Someone we haven't talked about a ton recently. He was taken 34th overall in the 2022 draft. And people were calling him like Craig Kimbrell, but with the potential to start something along those lines, which is obviously a lofty comparison. But he put up really good numbers at Mississippi State and was on his way to becoming really a starting pitching prospect as opposed to just a relief pitcher prospect, a closer sort of prospect with Mississippi State. He wound up needing Tommy John surgery, was only able to pitch a few games in his senior year, came over to the Diamondbacks, and last season, his first full minor league season, he comes back from Tommy John, and the stuff was not the same. It was low 90s instead of mid 90s. Heard some good things about the slider, but in order to really get back on the map as a legitimate pitching prospect, he's going to need to get the fastball back into that mid 90 range at least. So he'll be someone to keep an eye on for sure in this game. Yilbert Diaz is another name I want to hit on real quick from the D-back side. 23 years old last year, he got up to AA Amarillo, just made three starts there. Spent most of the season in High A Hillsborough, a 5.03 ERA there. Nothing spectacular. Had a few nice outings in Amarillo. But Yilbert Diaz, I've heard some pretty good things about. He's got a pretty impressive fastball-curveball combination. Fastball up to 100 miles an hour from what I've heard. Good ride. The breaking ball seems to be a pretty legitimate swing and miss pitch. And it's just kind of a matter of, can he find a third pitch? I think there's some semblance of a changeup in there. Can he find a third pitch that will work for him consistently and take what is now looks to be maybe more of a relief pitcher profile and change that to a starting pitcher profile? So those are a few pitchers to keep an eye on from the D-back side of things. Patrick, I know you've touched on a few pitchers on the Rocky side. Is there anyone else who kind of jumps out to you on that front?
I mean, again, the offense is totally stacked. Yankiel Fernandez is a guy that, you know, put up 100 RBI down in low A in 2022. You know, he can rake. He's a top 100 prospect. You and I, when we were in Seattle for the All-Star game last year for the Futures game, you know, just an absolute rope to third base that I forget what the number was. It was like 103 miles an hour. So he's got an absolute cannon. Sterling Thompson is another one of those high round draft picks in 2022 where, you know, doesn't really have a position exactly. You know, he's going to play some second base. Adiel Amador is already there. Amador is a shortstop, but of course, Ezekiel Tovar is the cornerstone there for the Rockies going forward. But Thompson can also play a little bit of outfield. He can absolutely hit. Zach Veen was supposed to be the guy to really break out last year and maybe make his debut during the course of the season. Had a wrist injury and had surgery, so he missed most of the season. Dude's a total speedster, so when he gets on base, keep an eye on that. That's one of those fun matchups that you talk about, and we'll get to in a second, the pitcher versus hitter matchups. But you're going to say, all right, let's see what Christian Cerda or Alberto Barriga, what are they going to be able to do if Zach Veen gets on first base? And let's see who wins that battle. Like, that's one of those fun little game within the games. Benny Montgomery has been a guy that was finally able, you know, coming out of high school out of Pennsylvania, you know, took him a while to kind of get his feet underneath him, and he'll be participating in that game. Hunter Goodman's the one, because Hunter Goodman has 30 home runs and 100 RBI the last 2 years in the minors. Absolutely raked, was able to make his debut last year. So that seems unfair that he's able to participate in this game when he was a guy that was, you know, basically battling for a starting position for the Rockies on opening day. So for him to be on this roster, I mean, it's stacking the deck really in the Rockies' favor. So whoever starts for the Diamondbacks will most likely have to face Hunter Goodman in the first inning. And that's might not be fair, but hey, it's baseball. Sometimes baseball's not fair.
For on the pitching side, it kind of seems like it's Dolander and then everyone else. Is that fair to say? He's just kind of in a tier of his own right now.
Well, Carson Palmquist has been, you know, really solid. You know, he started the first game of the Cactus League slate, you know, this year, made big strides last year, finished at AA, was really impressive. He looks nice. So some Diamondbacks fans may have already seen him from that first spring training game this year.
He's pitched against the D-backs like a couple of times this spring. I've seen maybe like 7 or 8 innings of Carson Palmquist, I feel like, in spring training so far.
I think he pitched on Wednesday. That was like his first game back since having a small little injury that they were just cautious with. So he might not end up going. Sean Sullivan was a guy that was drafted last year, was really impressive out the gate. Jaden Hill is a guy that was at big league camp, drafted at LSU. Almost a similar story to a Landon Sims where, you know, needed Tommy John surgery. So that hurt his, you know, his stock, his value in the draft. So was able to fall to the Rockies in the second round. Angel Chavi was added to the 40-man roster, 21-year-old kid, you know, still needs to put some meat on the bones, but dude's got ice in his veins. You know, he's been a closer going forward. Seth Halverson is maybe the most interesting guy because he was drafted last year and then ended up finishing the season at AA. Now, you know, did that actually have to do with that's where he belonged, or was it the, you know, Rockies being aggressive and taking advantage of the longer AA season, getting him some more opportunities? But he looked really solid there. So those are some of the interesting, you know, pitching guys. Rockies are just more loaded on the hitting side than the pitching side. A lot of unknowns. So they don't quite have the same flash as far as pitchers are concerned as it does with the hitters.
Yeah, I think the Diamondbacks are probably in the same spot after Yumin Lin. Dylan Ray is also on this list, one of the D-backs' better pitching prospects. But yeah, you know, a lot of their more formidable pitching prospects are not technically prospects anymore. It's, you know, it's Ryan Nelson who's vying for that fifth starting rotation spot, and Tommy Henry who's in that conversation as well. Slade Ciccone has a chance to make an impact in the majors this year. Bryce Jarvis as well. There's a long list of D-backs pitching prospects who were, you know, once fairly highly thought of top 100 guys at times, but now we're kind of trying to make that transition into being full-time major leaguers, which is obviously a pretty hard thing to do if you're a pitching prospect. On the position player side, yes, D-backs definitely have more weapons on that side. I mentioned Lawler and Tommy Troy. Gino Groover is someone I'm really excited to see play, hopefully, in this game. Groover probably has the best hit tool of any Diamondbacks position player prospect. I see grades around the 60 range for him as far as the hit tool is concerned, which is pretty impressive. Still some questions there as far as what position he's going to wind up playing, which is, of course, another big thing. But he's someone to keep an eye on. Ivan Melendez is in this game as well. High pick in the 2022 draft for the D-backs. Put up some good numbers last year at AA. But as we talked about on this show, the strikeouts have been an issue, and that narrative has sort of continued into spring training. In terms of outfielders, Christian Robinson is a big name on the Diamondback side, someone who was held out of the game for multiple years, basically due to a legal matter, which led into visa issues. And finally, that situation was resolved this past season. He was able to play in some minor league games, put up some actually pretty decent numbers for the D-backs in their minor league system, got up to AA. And in spring training, he's no longer in major league camp, but I think he's had a pretty strong showing in spring training. You can still see the athleticism that made him arguably the D-backs best prospect several years ago. You can still see the arm that he has in the outfield. I still think the speed is there to some extent, even though he's not quite as quick as he was, you know, when he was 18, 19 years old. But this is a big opportunity for him to hopefully get in this game and make an impression, as he already has done this spring training. A big question that I have, Patrick, that I think is just kind of a fun one is, you know, I mentioned the Jackson Holliday, Paul Skeens matchup that we saw the other day that was just epic and what everyone wanted to see and all of this. I don't think there's a Skeens versus Holliday equivalent for D-backs Rockies, but I mean, maybe we could get somewhat close. Like, what would be the closest equivalent of that for D-backs Rockies? I guess we can start a Rockies pitcher versus a D-backs hitter. What in your mind would be the most epic matchup we could see in this game?
All right, I've got an answer for you on that. You said Rockies pitcher, D-backs hitter, right?
Yeah, we'll start there and then we'll go the other way.
All right. I'm not going to answer that yet because I've got I'm thinking outside the box, Jesse. You got to think outside the box. So it's not a matchup, but it's just one of those scenes that you want to see, right? You want to see Skeens on the mound, Holiday in the batter's box, perfection. Good job, MLB. The scene that I want to set is Drew Jones hitting a triple. And as he slides into third base, there's a play made on him by Kyle Karros. He's safe, and standing on third base is the son of Andrew Jones and the son of Eric Karros. Kyle Karros and Drew Jones, those two, that would be pretty neat. Two sons of, you know, iconic, you know, big leaguers. Eric Karros is a name that, you know, he wasn't, you know, one of the greatest first basemen of his generation, maybe a little underrated, but third most home runs in Dodgers franchise history. Think about that. Only two Dodgers ever hit more home runs in Dodger blue than Eric Karros. So I like the Drew Jones, Kyle Karros, maybe not a matchup, but just seeing them there together, I think would be super, super cool. That being said, I'm still going to pick Drew Jones in the box against Chase Dolander. Dolander, Drew. I like alliterations. We'll go with that. I want to see that matchup. I think that would be kind of cool. Those are probably the two guys that maybe have, you know, probably the biggest hype on each side of the ball, Chase Dolander and Drew Jones.
And I think both of them are, I mean, you mentioned Dolander, maybe he can move through the system fairly quickly. Drew Jones coming out of high school, you know, pretty raw talent. He struggled a bit last year in his first full season in the minors, was hurt throughout much of it. But yeah, those guys are like a little far away from the majors, maybe. At least we haven't seen a ton in the minors yet, but those guys are, yeah. I mean, I think Drew Jones has as high a ceiling as anyone in the Diamondbacks farm system right now, despite what we saw last year. And from what you've said, it sounds like Dolander has an opportunity to be one of the better, you know, in-house developed pitchers that the Rockies have churned out in quite some time. So I'm with you. That's what I had in my head as well. What if we flip it and go the other way? So Diamondbacks pitcher on the mound, Rockies hitter at the plate. I imagine pitcher for the Diamondbacks, my first thought there is Yumin Lin. I think Yulber Diaz is interesting, someone who's maybe not quite as much on the radar, but Yumin Lin is probably the choice there. He's definitely the D-backs top pitching prospect by most prospect lists that you'll find. Who do you want at the plate, Patrick? Who should we put up against Yumin Lin?
Jordan Beck, the guy that's made the most noise at spring training for the Rockies. He is just kind of prospect personified. You know, he's got the look of one of the young outfielder types that, you know, teams really love to buzz about. You know, he's got the pedigree from, you know, being a former volunteer. He still is one in his book, of course. Those guys are diehards through and through. So Jordan Beck is, I think we'll see him later in the season for Colorado. I think there's a decent chance you might see Yumin Lin, you know, late in the year. We know injuries happen, and we know once guys are already at AA, you know, they've got an opportunity, you know, to make that debut. So Yumin Lin, Jordan Beck, lefty against a righty. I think that's nice. There, I think is Jansa Luis, is he the only teenager in this game? Because he's another player that deserves a little shout out for the Diamondbacks, because I believe he's still 19.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I was just going to mention him.
That's pretty cool.
He might be. I'm just looking through this list, and I don't. I'm pretty sure he would be. Hansel Luis. He is a switch hitter. Who Keith Law is very, very high on. Keith Law had the Diamondbacks farm system ranked fourth in all of baseball, I believe, in large part because he had Hansel Luis ranked extremely high. I think he had Hansel Luis in his top 100 list. He's the only prospect evaluator I've seen to put him there.
Wow, that's wild.
He has yet to even put Luis in I mean, Luis hasn't even played in double A yet. So he's pretty raw, but I've heard some good things about Luis from the D-back side of things. They like the fact that he's a switch hitter. There's some power to be tapped into there as well. Middle infielder. I'm not totally sure if he's going to stick it short. Probably more of a second baseman when all is said and done, but yeah, he's an exciting player. And as you mentioned, he is also very, very young.
That's the guy to watch then. Cause if, you know, Keith Law, you know, he misses like other prospect pundits, but Keith Law was the first guy to be on Ronald Acuna Jr. to say, this guy is going to be a dude. And he was right about that. And so that really speaks volumes for Jansel Luis and Christopher Torin, the number 7 prospect in the D-backs. Yeah. He's only 18. So like, that's really cool. I think there was supposed to be a teenager on the Rockies roster and the original one that I had seen, Robert Kellas, but he's since been taken off. So no teens on the Rockies roster, but two for the Diamondbacks. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call with Christopher Torin. We've actually seen Christopher Torin play in what feels like a pretty decent number of spring training games for a guy who's so young. D-backs have been, I guess he's just had 5 at-bats. He's just 0 for 5. I think we've seen Hans Luis take maybe a couple of plate appearances as well. But that's what's so great about this game is we get the opportunity to see a full game where, you know, they're still going to have to make some substitutions. These rosters are still pretty big. You're going to have to do like a full-on turnover of position players and, you know, certainly be going, I don't know, maybe one inning for each pitcher or something like that. But I'm pretty stoked for this, you know, prospect enthusiasts rejoice around the universe here tomorrow or today and from these last couple days. It's been seems like it's been a success so far, and we'll see what this game looks like tomorrow. So Patrick, this has been it's been a good time. I'm excited to see how this game turns out, and you know, maybe this will become an annual tradition. Maybe this is a raging success and MLB brings this back year after year.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the timing is really good because a lot of the prospects have already been kind of sent down to minor league camp. That was one of the first thoughts I had when this was announced, was I kind of laughed and thought every spring training game is a spring breakout game if you stick around until like the 7th or 8th inning where the young guys are in. But this is, you know, giving them the proper spotlight. And this is almost the time of year too where like spring training kind of feels like it's dragging a little bit. We're like, man, let's get to the season. Oh, yes. Hey, this is like a really solid distraction to have something like this. So the timing I think is really appropriate, and boom, after this weekend's done, the regular season kind of starts. I mean, it does start, but not for everyone, just Dodgers and Padres on Wednesday. So yeah, I think spring breakout is going to be here to stay. They're giving away baseball cards. I think select fans are going to get cards. So like, that's going to entice people to show up, you know, and get cards from these prospects and get autographs, to have them all in one place and to be given the proper spotlight, I think, that they deserve is, it's going to be really, really fun. And I think this podcast in and of itself is going to age really well because, hey, if you happen to not see the game, you can still go back and listen and learn more about those prospects to keep an eye on them over the course of the 2024 campaign.
I want to give a quick shout out to our diehards. If you are a PHNX diehard, I'm going to do a Discord discussion following the spring breakout game. Not immediately following, because I'm gonna have to go and probably like do interviews and whatnot during the game and after the game. I'm not sure exactly how that will work logistically.
Oh man, that's awful. You poor thing. Oh, that's a shame. But eventually you'll get to it. It's okay. I think they'll understand.
hopefully people will understand. But yes, if you are a diehard, be sure to check that out. I'm excited to chat prospects with you all. We'll talk about, you know, what's happened in the game, maybe what some of the guys said afterward. I'll be happy to bring whatever insight I'm able to gather while that game is being played. If you aren't a diehard, you of course should become one. You can do so right now at gophnx.com. It comes with all sorts of benefits, including discounts on merchandise, discounts on all of our events. We've talked a lot about our takeovers that we have this season, including our takeover of the Chase Field swimming pool, which is probably one of the more highly anticipated takeovers in PHNX history. So if you become a diehard, you'll get a discount to that, as well as all the content that we produce on our website. We've got weekly content on all of our beats coming out exclusively for diehards, from video content to written stories as well. So be sure to become a diehard if you haven't already. This has been a lot of fun, though. That's all we have here for this special Saturday edition of the show. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Jesse N. Friedman. You can follow Patrick Lyons on Twitter at Patrick D. Lyons. And of course, you can follow our beat account at PHNX_DBacks, and all roads lead to at PHNX_sports. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Well, Patrick, you delivered once again. Derek, you know, I think you, Derek will presumably come back someday, but he, you know, he's going to have big shoes to fill. That's just how it works whenever we have a Patrick Lyon sighting here on the show.
Size 11 and a half. If anybody wants to send some footwear my way.
There you have it. Well, thank you all again so much for joining us here on the Saturday show. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you're watching the spring breakout games.